Let's take our Bibles and go to Psalm chapter 33. Psalm chapter 33 this morning, and we'll be in verses 1 through 11. So Psalm chapter 33, verses 1 through 11. The Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harps, sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth and storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Father, we do thank you this morning again for allowing us, Lord, to be gathered together. Thank you for the safety you gave your people as they traveled in. Do pray that you be with those that are not able to be here this morning due to sickness. We ask that you speak to their hearts as well. Father, we just ask that you would guide us, leading us according to the truth of your word. Lord, leading us by the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus said that it was expedient for him to go away, that the Comforter might come. And we thank you that we do find comfort in your Spirit. We find guidance in your Spirit. Lord, the Holy Spirit brings to our mind verses that we've memorized, encourages us, helps us to see dangers at different times, reminds us that we can look unto the hills from whence cometh our help, because our help comes from the Lord. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in the lives of your people. And Father, we ask that this morning would be a blessing, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would open up the minds and hearts of the children, just like you did in Sunday school. Would you do it in junior church as well, helping the Word of God to take root in their heart? But Lord, would you help us to continue trusting your Word, continue applying your Word to our life, continue following the principles of your Word, the truth of your Word. Keep believing that it truly is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, so we're not deceived by man, we're not deceived by the world. Father, that we would continue to walk in the light. Father, your light. You've called us into fellowship with you, and we thank you, Father, that we are your children. We're heirs of you, joint heirs with Christ. Father, would you just speak to our hearts this morning according to your will? We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I was kind of going back and forth. I had two different messages, and I wasn't quite sure which one to do, and I believe this is the one that God would have us listen to and think about this morning based on David's psalm here in Psalm 33, because the first thing he says is rejoice in the Lord. One thing that we have to keep doing in our daily lives is rejoicing in our Savior, rejoicing in the truth that Jesus Christ has bought us with his precious blood. In a couple of weeks, we're going to celebrate his resurrection, celebrate the truth that we have a risen Savior who sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, waiting for the moment when the Father has the trumpet blown for the last time and he is told to go get his bride, and he catches the bride away, all the believers there at the rapture to be with the Lord, to receive rewards at his judgment seat, to be able to cast back at his feet, to be able to worship him, receive our glorified bodies, sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, just have a wonderful time in heaven, knowing all the trials of life are over, knowing that we'll just be riding on white horses right behind him as we come with him to reign and rule on this world there at the end during the millennium kingdom. But I just love the fact that he gives us the opportunity now to worship him and to rejoice in him. And every day we should rejoice in the Lord because he's done great and mighty things for us. Sure, we've had some physical ailments, we've had some health issues, some setbacks in life, some disappointments, some joys as well, blessings as well. But through it all, we have the privilege and I believe the responsibility to rejoice in the Lord because He is worthy of all our honor, glory, and praise. And no matter what happens in life, we always have to remind ourselves, He's done so much for me in bringing the gift of salvation to me, and not just a gift of salvation that I get to stay out of hell and go to heaven, but that He's given me the power to become the Son of God. I am a child of the King. And that is what really helps us to keep living in a sin-cursed world, to keep living under a corrupt government, to keep living in a sinful society, is because we know who truly sits on the rightful throne. We truly know who oversees the affairs of men, the one who raises up one and sets down another, the one who truly is in control, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So be encouraged that you do serve a risen Savior, that you talked with Him this morning as you read your Bibles and had your own private devotions. Maybe you talked to Him on the way to church this morning, just speaking to Him in your heart. But we just serve an amazing God. Just never forget that. We do serve an amazing God. In the Scriptures, as I was reminding Sunday school this morning, don't believe the lie that's in the world that you don't have God's Word, because it is what encourages us in God. It is what helps us to know how we can be saved and how to have the assurance of salvation, to know that Jesus is coming back, that there is victory in this world through Jesus Christ. There's victory over depression. There's victory over pornography. There's victory over anger. There's victory over adultery. I mean, God has given us victory through Jesus Christ. We don't have to bow down to the idols of this world. We get to stand firm upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, because there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It is Jesus Christ. And as David writes this psalm, I'm sure that his heart is just full of joy because of his God. Rejoice in the Lord. And this morning I want us to see the psalmist's four expressions that he shows in these verses. The first one that he shows, the first expression that he shows, is this: his great desire that he had for God. His great desire that he had for God, and it showed in his praise. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous." That is us. We can't expect the lost people, we can't expect people who don't understand who Jesus Christ is to rejoice in Him. The first time that I truly rejoiced in the Lord was the day of my salvation. When I went to church as a little boy, I didn't really rejoice in having to sit in a room full of kids I didn't know and listen to stories I didn't understand. But when I came to know Christ as my Savior, I found a joy that was missing in my life, and I'm sure you have as well. And David rejoices in the Lord because God deserves joy being expressed from His people. Again, when you read through the Bible, you just read ordinary people being used by God, ordinary people depending upon the Lord, following God's will for their life as God would show them His will, moving upon their hearts and them finding joy and rejoicing. Many times you see where God calls Abraham, God anoints David. But there's other times where it's people seeking after God, like Ruth. Ruth being a Moabite, not an Israelite, not a Jew. She was a heathen, but when she heard about the goodness of God, heard about the power of God, and she saw that all the hearts of the men of her hometown had just, you know, they just didn't care anymore. She saw that her God, the God of the Moabs, didn't answer their prayers, didn't provide for them. But as she heard about Jehovah and what God was doing for His people, when Naomi decided, after the death of her son, or the death of her husband and her two sons, decided to go back to Israel, back to her hometown, Man, Ruth wanted to go, and nothing was going to deter her from going with her mother-in-law, even though her mother-in-law tried to get her not to go. Go back to your father's house. Go back to your old gods. She wouldn't, because she was being drawn by Jehovah. She wanted to be where God was, wanted to be with God's people, and God had a plan for her life. I'm glad that God can use sinful people in his plans, because she ends up marrying Boaz. She ends up being the great-grandmother of King David. You think of Rahab the harlot there at Jericho. God moved upon her heart because she feared God. She hid those spies that Joshua had sent in. She hid those spies, and her life was saved, as well as everybody that was in her household on that day when the walls came tumbling down. There are times where God speaks directly to you and wants you to do something. There's other times your heart is drawn to him because of the relationship you have with him. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. We're to rejoice. He says, for praise is comely for the upright. He expresses his rejoicing, his praise unto the Lord, and he can't help, according to verse 3, but to sing unto him. It's a wonderful thing to sing unto the Lord, whether you can sing on tune or not. It's what comes out of the heart. Because Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can't help if God is good to you and you recognize his goodness and you recognize everything he's doing for you in your life and you have that close relationship with him. You can't help but to speak of his goodness. You can't help but to sing of his greatness. Everybody can talk about something. Some people will talk your ear off about mechanics working on cars or their favorite football team or whatever, their favorite book that they're reading. But as a child of God, as a born-again believer, we should be able to talk about with joy the greatness of our Savior. He says, rejoice in the Lord, praise the Lord, sing unto him a new song. Every day there should be a new song in your heart towards the Lord. Even if you make it up, there should be a song in your heart because you recognize how good God is. I mean, just when you stare into the face of a newborn baby, you recognize the greatness of God. You recognize just his love for humanity, that God's the one that gives life, right? Children are a heritage of the Lord, and as parents, man, we cherish those moments that we have. I mean, I've got a range of kids myself. I mean, I've got, late 20s all the way down to, you know, if I count my grandchildren, you know, they're, you know, real young. You know, the youngest is not quite a year old. I think she's 5 months. You know, don't hold it against me if I can't remember, you know, birth dates and stuff. I mean, I'm 50 and I've got 10 kids, and you know, sometimes you just can't remember all the birth dates. That's why I have an amazing wife that keeps me on track. And I have children that understand that even the 9-year-old, when I'm at the doctor's office and they're wanting to know their birth date, I can look at them and they just tell me what it is, because I can't remember which birth date you are, right? Some of them I can. Some of them it escapes your mind. I'm just saying that we can rejoice every day at the goodness of God. Just look at your life and what he's blessed you with. If you have struggles, if you're struggling with something, do you realize who wants you to struggle? Do you realize who wants you to be under the oppression of depression? Wants you to be afflicted? It's your enemy. And the one thing that he doesn't want you to do is rejoice. That's why Paul said, I will glory in my infirmities, because he didn't want to give the devil any glory or any praise. He didn't want the devil to be jumping up and down, excited that Paul was cursing the day he was born and cursing the thorn in his flesh and questioning God why he wasn't removing it. Lord, you said, if I ask anything in your name, you'll do it. I've asked 3 times. You haven't done it. No, because when Jesus spoke to him, as he speaks to our heart, reminds us, in your weakness, I'm strong. We find our strength in the Lord, and when we find our strength in the Lord, we can have the attitude that Paul had. I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon my life. I mean, you're the devil, your enemy hates you to glorify and rejoice in the Lord, but do it. You know what it's like. You know what it's like when somebody's against you and you're able to rub something in their face. You know what that's like. You know the little joy that we kind of get when, you know, there's somebody against us and we can kind of turn the tables on them and, see. Do that to the devil instead. Turn the tables on him. Don't let him steal your joy. Don't live in misery and depression. Live in joy, thinking about what Christ has done for you, and even cry out the name of Jesus Christ. Sing his praises. The devil can't stand it. He'll leave you alone, and it'll help us to have a better attitude. But again, rejoice in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sing unto him a new song. But also in verse 4, he wants us to see the fact that he has high thoughts of God. Look at verse 4. He says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." This is what he's saying, and it's true. God's word is true. All his works are true. But this is also what he thinks about the Lord. He doesn't let man's opinion decide how he's going to think about his God and how he's going to think about his God's word. He wants people to know that he has high thoughts of God. I try to make it known that I have high thoughts about my wife because I love her dearly. We've been married for 34 years. We've gone up the great mountains. We've gone down into the valleys. I mean, through thick and thin, good days, bad days. God's been good and God's helped us. So I like to praise her because she is an amazing woman and mother and grandmother. But she knows, and I know, that she's only that way because of the Lord. Because the Lord has helped her to be that amazing woman. Because she has a genuine heart for the Lord. She has a desire for God to be glorified in her life. She wants God to help her to fulfill those roles in her life. When you think about, I have high thoughts. Some people may not have high thoughts of her. I know for a fact that she has high thoughts of me because she tells me all the time. And I also know there are other people that don't have high thoughts of me because they've told me. Nobody in here, just saying. You know, it's everybody has someone that really speaks highly of you, and there's some that speak real low of you. Which one are you going to believe? The devil speaks real low of you, but God speaks real high of you. Because when you look at the life of Job, the devil kept telling God, take away his stuff. You touch him, and he's going to curse you to his face, to your face. And God said, well, he's in your hands. Do what you will, but you can't touch him. Do what you will, but you can't kill him. And each time, Job did not respond the way the devil said he would. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. He rejoiced in God. He said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. He understands, he even tells his wife, shouldn't we receive bad and good from God? I mean, it's God that is over all. It's God that is doing things in our life, and sometimes he allows bad things so that we can rejoice in the good that he's already done, right? And we have to choose to rejoice in the Lord. We've got to keep having high thoughts, proper thoughts about God and about his word. In fact, his word, he says, God's word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We're supposed to hide God's word in our heart that we might not sin against him. With his word, he spoke the worlds into existence. As I was even thinking about this last night, just thinking about what's going to take place. Was it? I think on the 24th, the solar eclipse that's going to take place this month. I was just thinking, man, God is so amazing how he just kind of spoke things into existence. He spoke the sun, the moon, the stars in existence. He spoke the animals in existence. Everything. I mean, it's the power of his word, and yet his word is so comforting to the Christian. His word gives direction to the Christian. But as I thought about that, just thanking the Lord that he took time to mold man out of the dust of the ground. Do you realize he could have just spoke the body of man into existence? And we wouldn't have known any difference. We would just be reading it in Scripture where he just spoke man into existence. But he shows his love and his care for people by, as the Bible tells us, molding man with his own hands, as a potter molds the lump of clay into a vessel, into something that the potter wants. Molding man out of the dust of the ground, forming that body, but then breathing life into that body so that body becomes a living soul. I mean, just rejoicing in the fact that he cares about you. He cares about your body. Why do some people get cancer and then they get healed from it? And some people get cancer, they die from it. We live in a sin-cursed world. And it's only by the grace of God that anyone survives cancer. You know, I have a son who survived the treatments and stuff. But at the same time, there was someone that was battling leukemia who died. I can't question God. All I can do is rejoice in what he has allowed my family to have, and that is to have our son a little longer. But the Bible does still tell us the death of the saints are precious in the eyes of the Lord. God views your life very precious, and we can rejoice in who he is because he never does anything wrong. Everything is done according to his word and by his works. He says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. The world doesn't do everything truthfully. Man doesn't do everything truthfully, but our God always does what's right because he is truth. He cannot lie. He's not a man that he should lie. He is a creator. He is God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the beginning and end of everything, the Alpha, Omega. He never lies. So don't believe the lie that you cannot follow God, that you cannot trust him. Look, if you would, at Daniel chapter 10, if you would, real quick. Daniel chapter 10. Or you can just listen real quick. Daniel chapter 10. The Bible says, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there's none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. As God speaks to the nation of Israel, and specifically to Daniel here, he speaks of his truth, scripture, God's word. I don't really have time to go through it all, but again, in Sunday school, we're talking about our faith in God's word. It's the second point in our faith series. The foundation of our faith is Jesus Christ. We build upon that foundation through the truth of God's word. And the devil in the world wants us to believe that we don't have the word of God today, that we have no lamp for our feet, no light for our path. And we can debate all day, every day, whether or not we have the word of God. I just know that I have the truth of God's word because it's helped me through the years. It has guided me. It has enlightened me to the truth. And it shows us how to be saved, how we have assurance of salvation, how we know that we have a home in heaven, and how that we know that Jesus Christ is coming again. I believe a lot of Christians are battling depression because they have stopped believing in the truth of God's word. They've stopped applying God's word to their life because Joshua was told by God not to let his word depart out of his mouth, but to meditate on it day and night, that he will have success, that he will have blessings as he entered the promised land, and as he fought battle after battle after battle after battle, if he would keep the word of God in the forefront of his mind, keep the word of God in his heart, he would never fail to trust God and to follow God even when he didn't see how the victory was going to be won. He just trusted the faithfulness of God. God's word teaches us about God's faithfulness, about God's word, and how true God is to his name. In Psalm 33 and verse 5, the Bible says, he loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of God. Next thing that we see is just his thoughts of God's righteousness, and we're robed in the righteousness of God. It's not up to us to judge somebody else's righteousness, whether they're righteous enough or not. Now, the Bible does say, Jesus says, you'll know them by their fruits. I mean, God doesn't want us to be deceived by wolves and sheep's clothing. But I can't compare myself to somebody else and say, well, at least I'm not like them. At least I'm a little better than them. No, my comparison is supposed to be with Jesus Christ, looking in the scriptures as a mirror and saying, Lord, how can I be more like Christ? How can I be more compassionate, loving, helpful for my spouse, for my children, for those around me? How can I be a better man or woman of God? How can I be a better follower, a better disciple of Jesus Christ? He loveth righteousness and judgment. I love the fact that God's justice is inflexible. God's justice is always the same. You go to court, two people go to court for the same crime, they may not get the same penalty. They may not get the same sentence. But with God, it is the same. Because God's a righteous judge. If somebody has done you wrong, the righteous judge will take care of it. Sometimes it's hard to leave that in God's hands. Sometimes we want to take care of the matter ourselves, and depending upon what it is, he'll have you take care of it. But if it's just someone who's criticizing you, someone who isn't believing you, someone who is just deriding you in different ways, ridiculing you, leave it to the Lord. Because what the devil's wanting to do is get you to lose your testimony with not just that person, but those around you. Because he knows that Christ has called you to be a shining testimony, a shining light, and he's given us that ability because it is his light in us. But he loves righteousness and judgment, and you know that God will always do right. He will always judge righteously. And the fact that his goodness is inexhaustible. We may see wickedness getting worse and worse and worse in these last days, but God's goodness is still the best. God's goodness is still seen in a sin-cursed world. God's goodness is still seen in a broken life. Someone who has had tragedy in their life, God's goodness is still what they need. It's still what will help them through the hard times. He says the earth is full of his goodness. You know what? Let me encourage you. Don't watch too much of the news. Don't watch too much of the news. Don't read too much on social media of all just the garbage that's going on around the world and what governments are trying to do, suppressing the rights of people, because it's just going to upset you. It's just going to cause you to become angry. God knows exactly what's happening. You read the Bible. It says in the last days it's going to be like this. There's going to be a one world ruler. There's going to be a one world religion, a one world government that's coming. But God wants us to remain focused on him. He wants us as Christian parents keep raising our children in the nurture, the admonition of the Lord. As spouses, keep walking in the love, the compassion of the Lord. As individuals, keep walking in the victory that you have in Christ, because the chains of sin have been broken. The flesh is weak. The temptations still come to get angry, to still say the first words that come to your mind, the first thoughts that come to your mind, but the Lord still wants us to walk in truth. He still wants us to walk in victory. He still wants us to give people a reason to ask of the hope that lies within us. People know that you're a Christian. They want to see, is your faith real? Do you really stand upon the truth of God's word? Do you really follow God's leading in your life? Do you really believe everything is under the control of the master? Sometimes it may not seem like it. As the disciples were fighting a storm on the Sea of Galilee, and they were bailing water, and they were using up all their strength, and they came to their wits' end. They came to the end of themselves and all that they tried and said, Master, don't you care? Carest thou not that we perish? That's not where God wants us to be. He doesn't want us to be so tormented in our mind that we forget he hasn't lost sight of us. Nothing occurs to God. God is aware of everything. And he is aware of where you're at in your life, what's going on in your life. And I'm telling you, when we start rejoicing in the Lord, even in difficulties, we find something that the world doesn't have. Peace, comfort, and someone who already has the answer and the direction for our life. God's goodness is inexhaustible. The earth truly is full of the mercy and goodness of the Lord. Look at verse 6, if you would. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Sometimes, as the psalmist, we need to be under the conviction of who the Almighty is. We need to allow ourselves to be convicted about the fact that God has all power, that he did create the world and everything in the world, and that God is in control. He truly does raise up one leader and sets one down. He's shown us that in the scriptures. We have those examples of where, though man thinks he rises himself, God's the one that's in control. Yeah, he still gives man a choice. But God is ultimately in control. God uses people and situations for what he wants. And when you think about things that happen in your life, good or bad, just always believe and know that God's in control and God will use it for your good and his glory. But just the fact that God made the world and everything in it. He says, he spoke and he commanded. It stood fast. Again, just the power of God's word. Again, that's why I believe with all my heart that even in the days we're living in, whatever stage of life you're in, teenage years, 20s, 30s, 40s, a parent, widow, grandparent, wherever you're at in life, God's word is still what we need. God's word is what's going to build your faith. It's going to build your confidence in Christ. It's going to squash all the lies that the enemy has might have sown in your mind. Yeah, I know depression is real. But I know the reality and the truth that Jesus Christ won the victory over that. And he's given us the victory. One of the fruit. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Because this is what happens when we allow the word of God to truly be number one in our life, and we allow the Holy Spirit of God to truly guide our life, is the Holy Spirit has been given to us because he has a ministry that he wants to perform in your life and in my life as well. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit. So the fruit that's listed only comes by the Holy Spirit. There is in this world false places you can go to get a little joy, false substances, empty substances that give a little joy for a little time, but true lasting joy and love and peace all come through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The Holy Spirit will accomplish the ministry he was given by the Father, and that is to produce peace, love, and joy in your life. But you and I can quench the Holy Spirit and grieve the Holy Spirit from continuing to develop his fruit in our life when we have doubt, when we have unbelief, when we listen to the lies of other people instead of the truth of God. We have to get back to truly believing what God has said, not what man says. We have to truly get back to believing that you do have a spirit in you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Truly allowing the Holy Spirit of God to develop this fruit in us so that we are strong Christians, confident Christians, not confident in our ability and our intellect, but confident in our Savior, confident in Christ, confident in the Holy Spirit who has been given to us to guide us, to comfort us, to teach us, to lead us into all truth. All things were made by His Word, but it's the Holy Spirit that wants to develop this fruit in us so that we can be the fathers we're supposed to be, the husbands we're supposed to be, the grandparents we're supposed to be, the friend we're supposed to be. So we can be the mother we're supposed to be, the spouse that we're supposed to be, the wife, so that we can be the grandmother, we can be the friend, we can be the servant of the Lord as we lovingly serve other people. Now listen, let me just say this, and it's truly, it is out of love. Forget the area of your life that somebody has done you wrong in, and you automatically think, well, I can't be that because they weren't. Where are you at in life now? You can't control other people, but you can control yourself. And what God wants, I mean, that's temperance, that's self-control. God truly wants to magnify Himself in each of our lives. He truly wants us to walk in victory. Don't allow somebody else, even if it's a spouse not walking with the Lord, don't allow them to cause your walk with the Lord to be hindered. Pray for them. Pray that their hearts will be changed. But keep growing in your relationship with God. Keep letting God do His will in your life. He has a perfect will for each of us. We just have to be, as Romans 12 tells us, the living sacrifice where we say, Lord, here am I. Lord, have your will accomplished in my life. Mold me into the person you want me to be that exhorts Jesus Christ. John the Baptist said, He must increase, but I must decrease. My life is no longer about me. The older I get, and I'm not that old, 50. I mean, when I was, a teenager, I thought, man, when I'm an old man, like in my 30s, and then I became 30, and it was like, whew, man, I'm still young. Old is like, over 100. Just the older you get, you kind of push that line. I have not gone over the hill yet, all right? I turned 50, and I mounted up the hill because I'm not ready to go over the hill. I'm headed to heaven, so I'm still climbing, okay? So just keep that in mind. I mean, again, don't allow your life to be dampered. Think again about David. Think about the psalmist. Rejoice in the Lord. Your life is different than mine, but you can still rejoice in your life. You can still rejoice in your relationship with the Lord. You can still have your eyes on the author and finisher of your faith and stand fast in your relationship and your faith with the Lord. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Because one thing that he said back in verse 9 was that he spoke and it stood. It stood fast. I mean, everything God does, man, angels, demons, the devil, they cannot change what God does and what God has set in order, all right? The demons, the enemies, they can confuse people and cause people to choose to do things contrary to the Lord. But God's word and God's will always stands fast. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I want you to look at verse 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. Just a couple more minutes. I'll be brief in these few minutes. Thank you. Thank you for not saying anything. All right. Anyway, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, look at verse 14. All right, the Bible says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. Again, just remind yourself of the power of God. If God is so powerful, he can speak the worlds into existence. If God took upon himself to form man out of the dust of the ground, to breathe life into man so man would become a living soul, to hopefully come to have a relationship with God, with a saving God, with a redeeming God, whoever's in your life, he can change their heart. Yes, that person has to yield to the drawing and leading of God and the conviction of God, but you still are able to pray for that person to be changed, whether it's a coworker, whether it's a relative. You know what? Whether it's a church member that you might be at odds with, and as far as I know, there's nobody at odds in this church, but I've been at churches where there are people at odds with one another for silly things, and they're just giving place to the devil. They're quenching the Holy Spirit in their life. God wants us to rejoice. Rejoice in what he's done for you. Rejoice in the fact that he has all power. Rejoice in the fact that God even has a plan, a purpose for your life. He even speaks to you through his word, guides you by his spirit. We can rejoice in these things because that is our God. I'll end with this. Psalm 119, verse 90 and 91 says, thy faithfulness Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Even creation is the servant of God. You realize that God's truth, the truth of God's word, dispels the lie of climate warming, climate change. The earth's just going in a cycle that God created it to do. Man's not in control. God's in control. Man can't change what God created. Unfortunately, some are, you know, wanting to change their gender. But when they stand before a holy God, they're going to go back to the gender that God gave them at birth. And no one finds happiness. Do you realize? Of course, you're not going to see this on the news media or anything. But those that are trying to alter themselves because they've believed a lie, they find no happiness, no joy in it. There have been many that have changed what they did, and if they went too far and they can't kind of, you know, change things back, at least they're living who God created them to be. They realize the depression, the affliction, everything that came with going against God's design for their life. What I'm saying is we find joy in the Lord when we truly worship him how he made you. I'm not an opera singer, but he's given me a voice to at least lift up in praise to him. I'm not, you know, the most eloquent speaker, but at least he's given me a voice to speak. He's given you a voice to speak his praises, to sing his praises. He's given you the ability to live his praises so others see it. One thing I learned, because when I was a young parent, I thought, you know what? Winnie the Pooh can teach my kids. I'll just set them down in front of Winnie the Pooh. They can watch Winnie the Pooh all the time. Because, you know, we're busy. Busy parents got things to do. I realized, you know what? God did not give my kids the Winnie the Pooh. He gave them to me. Gave them to me so I can show them there's a God in heaven who loves them. a God in heaven who cares for them. And they see that and they learn that through the love and compassion of a parent. God has given parents a great responsibility, but also a great privilege. Does it always turn out the way you want it? No. But we are still to rejoice in the Lord. We're still to show the goodness of God to those around us. We're still to be an influence to our children. If you're still raising children like I am, you're still supposed to teach them in the ways of the Lord. Teach them how to rejoice in the Lord even when the day didn't go good for them, even when they failed a school test or something, or fell off their bike or got hurt, whatever. And even as a grandparent. But individually as a Christian, letting others see, you know, because there's always someone who's struggling. You could be in a room full of people, everybody's smiling, but there's at least one person that is struggling, even though they're smiling. Because people don't want other people to know that they're struggling. But the one person who's struggling will see somebody else that they can confide in. Someone else that will encourage them in the Lord. Someone that they just trust. Sometimes they don't even have to ask anything. They just see that person. It just encourages them. Always rejoicing in the Lord because he's worthy, but also those around us, they don't deserve the bad attitude. They don't deserve the anger. They don't deserve whatever happened at work. They deserve us to come into the home rejoicing because we have a God in heaven who's good. We have a God in heaven who provides for us. Not just the outward provisions, but the inward provisions of that peace and that joy and that acceptance and that relationship with the Lord.